Welcome, you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Thursday the 24th of September 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes and also podomatic.com, but you can go to our website, which is krazfiles.com, always C-R-A-Z-Z, and plenty of news links, podcasts going up there each week. Lots to check out. Also, we're on Facebook, Kraz Files. And as always, thanks to everybody out there for listening each week. Okay, Garth, we are plugged in to the Matrix.
Yes, another one. Week.
Yes, and we've got a great show today lined up. Couple, we're joined by David Weiss from the United States. And David's been gracious enough to come and have a chat to us today about the flat Earth, Garth. Something that you brought up last week sparked my interest as well. So, very exciting stuff. And, Garth, you were mentioning it last podcast. You couldn't help yourself and brought it in, and then as we do. And you get a, it's funny how people react to this. But I'll bring David in now. But, David, I'd have to say, I'm not really I think it's good to be skeptical about everything around us, about this so-called reality that spoon-fed to us from birth. You're told this and you're told that, but you never look for yourself. Everything's just what you're told it is, and people are happy to go along with that, but I think we have to be skeptical about things, but I think as well that you get a lot of people who get power from being a skeptic now. And they just debunk and rubbish everything, and it makes them feel good. It's a sort of an egotistical thing. I'm not like that. I'm just open-minded, but it doesn't mean that I'm stupid. It just means that I'm open-minded and happy to have a look at anything and go into it, because the Earth is a bizarre place. I think the reality, the so-called reality, is getting stranger and stranger. And, I'm not really I don't know if it our reality is a dream or not. I don't know how to tell the difference anymore between what's really a dream and what's not and what we're really doing. So it's a strange place for sure, but I'm very happy to go into this. And I must tell you, And as Garth as well, looking into this, it just strikes you like a lightning bolt in the head, and you just start thinking, what the hell's going on? So you're here today to pump out some information for people to get them thinking. And welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. You made the comment how, you like to have an open mind, and we're many of us, I don't like using the word conspiracy theorists, but independent researchers that don't just believe what they're told. We're accused of wanting this stuff to be true. And that is absolutely not the case. I don't want, of course I want the best for everybody, but I just want to know the truth. And I will look at the facts and stop listening to the lies. And it's quite shocking. I have a Facebook page called Exposing the Big Three: 9/11, Sandy Hook, and the Boston bombing, all complete contrived events, fake in different ways. And I thought, it couldn't get any worse than this. We've pretty much, false flags are fake. Then I was getting message, hey, check out this flat earth stuff. And I ignored it for 6 months. I just deleted the comments, never looked at the videos. I even banned people from the Facebook page for reposting again and again and annoying me. And then I looked and I just scratched my head. And I basically went underground 24/7 for about 4 or 5 weeks researching. And when I came up, I'm like, the earth is flat.
it blows you away. This kind of stuff is, when you start to get into it, as you said, it's hard, isn't it, to fit into your normal day-to-day life and reality with people around you, because we don't expect people to believe something like this straight away. You have to, as you said, go and do your research. So
people don't like change. It's easy to lie to somebody and convince them of something, but it's very hard to convince them they've been lied to. And it's an ego thing. And people, the government's here to protect us like our parents, but then you find out, nah, that's not true. That's like finding out that your parents are serial killers, and you'll do everything you can to avoid that emotional pain.
Yeah. It's hard for people, but as you said, when you start researching this stuff, it's blurs your reality a bit, because it's so deep and you can't go back to the way you were when you grew up. But people have a wife and they have their bills and work to do in the day, and you have to sort of find a way to fit into that reality.
Got to stay in the matrix.
Yeah, and then do your research as well. But you do get, as you said, a lot of opposition. People are like us, like me or Garth. They're happy to go into this, actually excited. I mean, like a sponge, you suck it up, and at the end of the day, if I don't believe it, I'll tell you. But some people, they get scared. I think it's all about fear, and they don't want to talk about it, and the shades come down over the eyeballs.
So, Adam, you said that you're skeptical, but you have an open mind. And that's, when I came out publicly, and I was afraid that this subject was going to discredit everything else I've done, all the research I've done on Sandy Hook. I was involved in a documentary called We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's on YouTube. It's free. It's linked on my website. I've been doing tons of research. I did a big expose on the Boston bombing, ripping that open with the help of another YouTuber called PK Boston. We've done so much, but bringing up this flat earth polarizes people. People don't like having their ball taken away. Yeah. It's literally, it's like you're taking a ball away from a child, and the human mind is so easily programmed. It's amazing. All of these false flags that happen, 9/11, we were told in commercials and cartoons and movies what was going to happen, just like as insignificant parts of the movie. So when 9/11 happened, your brain scans for all your subconscious memories for an explanation of what happened, and it's right in there. You don't even know where it came from. Oh yes, the buildings were hit by airplanes and they collapsed because of structural failure. You were programmed. They don't leave it up to chance.
That's right.
And a lot of these things, Dave, are right in your face, like particularly with the flat earth. We won't go into 9/11 because
do another show, Garth, on that.
Even with 9/11, as an example, there's so much obvious that's staring you in the face. And this particularly, I found with the flat earth, was that there was the only problem well, one of the problems I had with the flat Earth was the how the sun and the moon rotate around the Earth. I was looking on YouTube for explanations of that. If you can assist in that to describe how the sun and the moon work together on the planet. Yeah. I understand that the North Pole is in the center and they sort of oscillate around that center point. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there, I made a couple videos that went a little viral. People have uploaded them all over the place. One of them is called Flat Earth Meets the Electric Universe or something like that, and it's about quantum locking. Have you heard about quantum locking?
No.
There's a if you search on you don't need to search on YouTube, because on my website, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, just if you go there, deepinsidetherabbithole.com, top right link is the Earth a ball? And there's probably 15 or 20 videos on that page. A ball earther that goes to that page thinking that the flat Earth is absolutely ridiculous, if you watch all of those videos, you will come out the other end knowing the Earth is flat. So let me explain the flat Earth model. Everyone's like, well, if there's a flat Earth, you're going to fall off the edge. It's not that way. Imagine a endless ice sheet. I don't know how thick it is on top of land. You know, it's like the Arctic, like Antarctica. It's a 2 mile high ice sheet, and you have your magnetic center, your magnetic point, which is our North Pole, and surrounding that, orbiting it, kind of like an electron on a small scale in an atom, you have a capacitor that we call the sun, and it's an electric capacitor. Now, our sun is electric, if you didn't know that. It's not a burning ball of hydrogen. That's ridiculous. And it's orbiting this North Pole, and it's quantumly locked into position. And if you watch the video on quantum locking, they'll take a superconductor, which they have, you know, frozen, I don't know what it's made of, some superconducting material, and they'll float it above a magnetic field, and it'll go around in a circle perfectly, you know, perfectly. So, on that channel, there's a video called How the Sun Works on a Flat Earth, and it will show you. It's the same with the moon. The moon and the sun are the same size. They're very close to Earth. It's somewhere between 3,000 miles, give or take a few thousand miles. And when I say give or take, it could be way closer than 3,000 miles.
Yes. Okay. So when I was looking at the Coriolis effect, you know, to do with the highs and lows on the planet, and particularly in the north and south areas of a so-called round Earth, the highs move in different directions, clockwise and anti-clockwise. Well, I saw an excellent video on that, and it showed on a flat Earth how that was possible. Now, the difficult part that I found was that if the sun moves from east to west with the moon – on a flat Earth, how do you overcome that? Because I understand if it moves around the Earth, it would not always be like around a flat Earth. How could it be constantly moving from east to west?
So when people say, well, I've, you know, people have sailed around the world, you know, you're not going around a ball. You're going around a flat disc. You're making a circle and you're staying equidistant. When you go east or west, you're staying the same distance from the North Pole and you're making a big flat circle on a big flat Earth. You go east and you keep going and you keep going. You're making a big circle on a flat Earth. You come right back to where you started from. If you go west, you do the same thing in the other direction, and you come back right to where you started from. If you go north, you go to the North Pole, and if you keep going north, now you're going south as soon as you pass the North Pole, and you will go forever until either you hit something or never return because the Earth is flat.
Yes.
So it's hard to, it's hard to you know, I'm trying to describe this. It's so much better illustrated with videos, and all of the videos are posted. You know, there's so many, and I've picked the best ones and put them on that webpage to start from, and then you go from there and do your own research. There's so much information.
Yes, there certainly is, and that what I figure that people might have a little bit of indigestion with is the fact of the sun and the moon not only being close. I can see why the sun is much closer, because of the angle of the rays, because if the sun was all those 150 million miles away, is it, the rays would be parallel when they hit planet Earth. I mean, that's normal geometry.
Yeah.
But the sun's rays, if you look at them, and people do look at them, are at almost 60 degrees.
So let's talk about
indicate that the sun is so much closer. So that part is very explainable. Just in it's staring you in the face. This is what I was saying earlier, David. There's so much out there staring you in the face, and you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Now, things it's incredible. And if people just take that into note, what can you say? So, you've got to say the sun's closer.
I want to talk about that. And then actually I want to go back to the Coriolis effect right after this. Yes. So the images that we've seen in the video called The Biggest Lie Ever Told, which is done by D. Murphy 25, also his name is allegedly known as Dave. He's a great flat earth researcher. He's put out some amazing videos, and that's one of the videos that woke me up. It's also on that page. And it shows the image of the sun rays coming through the clouds. That is absolutely true, that it shows that it's very closer, but it's also deceptive, because if you take the light's rays and you're only looking at the bottom portion of them, it makes it look a lot closer than it is. So it's a little deceptive, but it's also definitely not 93 million miles away. It's very, very close to Earth. So you have to look at that. Also, just watch the sun. Look at the sun. And ask yourself, is that 93 million miles away? Watch some of the high altitude rocket shots or hot air amateur balloon shots. And, most of them are done with curved GoPro lenses, but the ones that aren't show a flat horizon at eye level. But when it shows the sun is never above it. It's always off to the side, almost at the same altitude, and those things are only going up 70, 80 miles. The sun is never above it. So that's fascinating right there. When you look at the sun, ask yourself, is that 93 million miles away? And the answer is absolutely not. I just released a video yesterday. It was a clip from another YouTube, a long video, and I just took a one-minute clip that was showed a picture of the sun, a video of the sun from an airplane, and it says, is that 93 million miles away? And the answer is no.
Mm. Yes. So it's and the sun then is a magnetic sphere more than an atomic heat sphere that we've been told.
Right. So we're told that the sun is a burning ball of hydrogen. My question to you is, if you had a balloon filled with liquid hydrogen and lit it on fire, would it burn for a billion years? The answer is no.
Yeah.
It's a capacitor, and the moon the moon, the North Pole, and the sun make an electric circuit, that's very simple. All the planets are all electrically connected. NASA, the liars at NASA even admit that there are electric pathways between all celestial bodies, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But the tides with the gravity of the moon don't make sense. The moon goes around the Earth once a day. Well, we spin around once a day, but there's two high tides a day. And the real answer is it's not gravity, because gravity is a lie. It's the electric magnetic force of the moon. And they've proven that water, especially salt water, is attracted to a magnet. If you get a neodymium magnet, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, it's a very high-powered magnet, floated on a piece of styrofoam. Don't float a vial of water on a piece of styrofoam or something very light and bring the magnet near it, it will pull the water. And that's what pulls our tides.
Mm. Yes. Yes, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Also, the Coriolis effect, for those of you that don't know what that is, that's the northern spins one way and the southern it spins in another way. But it doesn't affect airplanes. And if you talk to anyone in the armed forces that are doing long range missile shots and cannon fire and stuff, they never, ever, ever consider the Coriolis effect. It's a lie that snipers do. And if they did, it wouldn't even work. It doesn't exist, but there is a magnetic force that spins that will spins in different directions depending on your proximity to the North Pole. There is no South Pole. There's only a North Pole. And that is an experiment that you can do, and it's repeatable. There's no other way to prove the Coriolis effect.
Mm, yes. Whereas it can't work on around Earth.
It doesn't. Think about this. There's so many things that just prove, you know, you break one link in this chain, it's broken. You know, so let's just talk about gravity. We're told that the sun has this massive object and it's got the Earth locked in its gravity, okay? And the Earth is going around at the exact same position every year, and it goes around, it's holding onto the Earth. But the Earth happens to have the moon locked into its gravity, but the sun's gravity doesn't affect the moon. And we can prove this by when the moon is circling around the Earth and going away from the sun, goes around the Earth and comes back towards the sun, it doesn't change speed. It's the same speed. So the magical gravity of the sun doesn't affect the moon, but the Earth's gravity holds the moon into place. Meanwhile, we're traveling, spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, traveling around our solar system at 66,000 miles an hour. The sun's moving at, you know, 600,000 miles an hour, while the galaxy's spinning. Meanwhile, for decades, forever, the star patterns don't change. There's no parallax change in the stars. You know, every 6 months we're 180 million miles on the other side of the sun, and the stars are exactly the same. It's impossible. It's impossible. Mm. You know, the North, we're told that, oh, we're going to have a new North Star in 45,000 years. Yeah, well, wait 45,000 years, and guess what? We're not going to have a new North Star. Somebody just did an experiment where they went on their deck and they nailed a board to their deck and drilled a hole in it and lined it up with the North Star. Then they got another board maybe 3 or 4 feet away from that, lined up another hole with that hole, and put a camera shooting through the two holes so it only shoots at the North Star in one direction, lined it up, left it there, did a slow motion time-lapse film for, I believe, 6 or 9 months. It never moved. Meanwhile, the Earth moved 180 million miles spinning and wobbling, and the star never moved out of that hole. How's that possible?
It's laughable. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And, you know, and as you said, for centuries, the North Star has been visible in the same spot. So if we have a wobble on the axis, like they tell us, how could that be possible as well?
It's impossible. It's literally a joke. Think about this. Let's talk about this spinning Earth. Right now, do you feel like you're moving? No, you don't. You're rock solid. If you were in a car moving a quarter of a mile an hour, you'd know it. The second the human body starts moving, you know it. So if you're on the equator, you're going about 1,000 miles an hour. And if you're up in northern Alaska, you know, way up north, you're probably only moving 200 miles an hour or 300 miles an hour because you have a much shorter circle around the North Pole to make in 24 hours as this magical Earth is spinning. So let's say you're in an airplane or a helicopter, you know, and people say, you know, if you're at the equator and you take off in the same direction the Earth is spinning, you're already going 1,000 miles an hour. So you speed up to 500 miles an hour and you're really moving through space at 1,500 miles an hour, but the Earth is going 1,000. So you're only moving forward 500 miles an hour. That's wonderful. You know, that's a great story. And if you go in the other direction, you're actually, the Earth is spinning 1,000 miles an hour away from you. So you're only going 500 miles an hour. It's just a ludicrous story. But let's say you take off from very high up north, where you're only moving 200 or 300 miles an hour, and you fly to the equator. How are you ever going to catch up to the Earth? It's going 700 miles an hour faster than you can fly. It's impossible.
How can
you land?
It'd be like one of those revolving restaurants, Dave, you know, that people sit in, they're just going around and around slowly. I mean, even when you're eating your dinner, you still know you're turning around.
I made a video. Also, the atmosphere of the Earth is supposedly locked down to the Earth and spinning with it. So, you know, when you, like, if you had a rope and you were spinning it around your head, the far end of the rope is going way faster than the part close to your hand. And so the thing about the atmosphere, you know, the upper atmosphere is going way faster than down on the ground. But that whole thing is supposedly spinning, and space is a vacuum that if you put a small hole in the space station, which is fake, it would suck all of the air out in a second, you know, and kill everybody on board. But the vacuum of space can't pull off the air off the Earth because of gravity.
Which is pretty hard to understand.
It's just a joke. It's an absolute joke. I made a video called the vacuum gravity versus the vacuum, and so I'll give you a spoiler alert: the vacuum is victorious.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's yes, it is rather. That's I mentioned earlier. All these facts have been staring us in the face for so long now, but you know, most of us don't even bother to think about it. We just accept it. And as old Goebbels said, Hitler's mate, he said, "The bigger the lie, the easier it is to tell."
So, you know, you before you learn what 1+1 is, you go into school, There's a globe, and you're told that's where you live. And you and now, you know, people that are hearing this for the first time, just watch any movie, any television show. There's globes in all of them, all of the beginning credits. Go to the movies. Everyone is a spinning globe. You know, Google Earth, it shows you a globe. It's just programming, and we're so easily programmed because the way our brains work is whatever happens, how simple or complicated it is in front of you, you need to put an explanation on it before you can walk away. And you're doing this all day long. So right now you're sitting at your desk. All of a sudden, a pen falls off the desk. Immediately your brain goes, was it a gust of wind? Was it a mouse? Was it my cat? Is the table crooked? Did I bump it? You know, was it teetering on the edge of the table? You have to come up with a reason that it fell off. Otherwise, your brain can't function. You need to explain everything. And the point I was trying to make is that we need to put explanations on everything. And we are programmed from birth that we live on a ball. And so you just think everything's a ball. Every circle you see, you think is a ball. Like, take a look at the sun. I mean, the moon. The next time there's a full moon, or just Google a picture of the moon, and what you will see is a round circle. I'm not saying the moon is flat. I actually think it's a sphere, but I don't think it's lit by the sun, because if you light a sphere with a single source of light, it has a hot spot directly in line with that light, and then the light fades off to the sides, giving it shadows and shows you that it's a sphere. But if you look at the moon, it's equally lit edge to edge, okay? And I believe that the moon is self-illuminating, whether it's lit from the inside or it's lit from the outside, I don't know. But there's been some experiments where somebody took an egg, hollowed it out, put an LED light inside of it, and it looked just like the moon. It was amazing.
So it's not the reflection of the sun on the moon.
Absolutely not. Huh. Absolutely not. But you know what's interesting is the phases of the moon sort of line up to where the sun is. You know, the sun is always, if it is a reflection, it always is lighting up half the moon. It just depends on where the moon is and how much of it is turned away from us. So I don't think the light bouncing off the moon is light that we see, because it's a completely different temperature light. There's all sorts of different qualities to it. It's not reflecting the same yellow light. The moon is a colder light. But the angle of the lit part of the moon isn't quite right with the sun. And I think there's a reason for that. But let's just assume that it is pretty lined up with the sun. Maybe the electrical energy coming from the sun is the source that lights up the moon, that gives the energy to the moon. You know, everything is electrical. We are electrical beings. Everything in this universe is electrically based. And maybe the moon is getting energy from the sun, just like solar panels. You know, they're not collecting electricity from a fire burning in the sky. They're collecting energy from a capacitor that's transmitting massive amounts of energy, and it's just a collector that transforms it back into usable electricity.
So the moon is more or less like a a solar panel?
Perhaps, you know, like if you take a fluorescent light bulb and a Tesla coil and turn it on, the fluorescent light bulb will light up even though it's not connected to anything because that energy is being directed at it and then it's illuminating. So whatever the moon is, it's illuminating from some energy source, whether it's inside, whether it's coming from the sun. That's questionable, but it lights up evenly. And it doesn't make it, I'm not saying it's not a sphere. I actually think it is a sphere because I've looked at it through some high power telescopes and it sure looks like a sphere, but when it's lit up, it doesn't act like a sphere lit from a single outside source.
Yeah. And the fascinating part of that is that we get the same face. So that's an enigma for a start, isn't it? I mean, the same face of the moon in its circle stays facing planet Earth.
You're talking about the clouds passing behind the moon, Garth, as well.
Yeah, and there's – I've seen it. I've seen a cloud behind the moon.
That one is really difficult to wrap your mind around, but I've seen it too, and it's not that the moon is, you know, is the brightness of the moon is making you not see the cloud. It's not an optical illusion. The cloud is behind the moon, and how to explain that, I'm not 100% there yet, but – you know, the moon again, you know, we're told that the moon is 1/400th the size of the sun and the sun is 400 times farther. Therefore, they look the same size to us and the moon rotates perfectly. So it never turns its face away from us. I mean, come on, come on. Yeah, it's a joke. It's
whereas
impossible.
On a flat Earth, if it was a flat Earth, that makes sense.
It certainly does. And if you watch the quantum locking video, which is on the webpage, it'll show that you can angle this capacitor and push it around and it stays locked in position. It's not just levitating. It's locked in an orientation. It certainly is a better explanation than the BS that we're told.
It certainly is.
By the NASA-holes.
Well, one of the reasons, Dave, that I sort of got a bit excited when I started to find out about it was that not only, you know, right from birth, school days, you're told that it's around Earth, was the fact that I thought I was just a dumbass and I just could not understand the movements of around Earth, around the sun and everything else. So I thought, well, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so therefore these other guys who are much brighter, they know, and I can't understand the mass, so it must be right. And I think a lot of people probably follow the same path because it is complex trying to work your head around a round Earth and the way it travels. And as you were just talking about, the Earth travels around the sun and the galaxy travels around or the moon. We're all traveling at these different speeds going where? Whereas the flat Earth, when you start to look at it, it makes so much sense in relation to the sun and the moon and the fact that we don't move. But there are a lot of little things in there that I don't understand, and that's why I'm, you know, we're talking to you is to – because I can understand people out there like myself who've only been in this 6 weeks saying, well, wow, but hang on. You know, and as Adam will tell you, we've – had people we've spoken to on the podcast have virtually told us we're a bunch of ratbags.
Yeah.
And these are very absolutely intelligent people.
So again, I'm always out there, open your mind, look, don't believe, no. And I did the same thing for 6 months. I just banned people. I'm like, you guys are idiots. My favorite insult was, you know, when people would argue about these other false flags, I go, you're such a moron. You probably think the Earth is flat. Right? And that's been taken away from me. I can no longer say that, and I have to apologize to those
scorned
people. Yeah, it's the worst.
Well, while you're on that,
sure.
An interesting thing came up with this, Dave, was the fact that if you fly a plane, you set off, say, at one location, and you fly, say, east, directly east, and keep going, theoretically, on a round Earth, you should come back on from where you started.
Correct.
That's what people come up with. They say, well, that can be done. So if you can open out that a little bit, because that does confuse people.
Well, you're saying if you go east or west, you'll end up back to where you started if you go all the way around, right?
Yes.
On a ball Earth. So yes. If that was true, yeah, that would work. But you're really flying a circle around a flat Earth, staying equidistant from the North Pole. And you don't realize that you're turning right or left ever so slightly because your GPS is guiding you. And we'll talk about GPS in a minute. But with a plane flying at cruising altitude 30,000 feet at 500 miles an hour, it would have to push, it would have to go down. I forget the number. It's like 2,000 feet, you know, every couple of minutes not to go into outer space. Because the Earth should be curving away, and they have to keep pressing down. Otherwise, they just go off into outer space, and that's never done. If you look at the controls on the cockpit, there's a horizon level. It's a little airplane, and they level it out, and they line it up level, and then you look out the window, and there's the horizon at eye level. I have a little a diagram. I'm going to try to explain it. It's a little video that runs when you go to my website. If you're on an endless flat plane, as you raise up off of it, if you go up off of it in a balloon, that plane will go out until it reaches the sky, and it'll always remain at eye level. As opposed to if you're on a ball, as you raise up, you can see farther and farther, and the farther you see, the lower the Earth, you know, is wrapping around that ball, so the horizons should drop. But that never happens, no matter if you're on the top of Mount Everest, cruising altitude, 70 miles up in a balloon, the horizon is always at eye level. And that's right there is proof. Proof.
That's what gets you, Dave, isn't it? That's what sort of got me the airplane travel, because I've done a little bit of it. And just thinking about it, it's saying an airplane would constantly have to dip its nose all the time. So if not, it would find itself over 80,000 feet in just half an hour. And as soon as it would be floating around in outer space, which makes sense, but... What do you think about the pilots, Dave, doing all these flights? What would they be thinking after a while? Would they have to know, wouldn't they? Something's wrong?
I don't think they know, because first of all, go ahead. You want to say something?
No, you're right. Keep going.
No. So let's just talk about how your eyes work. And I also wonder how our eyes see. You know, we do have round eyeballs, and maybe we're seeing curves and stuff, and our brain is just compensating for it. But taking that out of the picture, you can only see a certain distance. And let's say that distance is, you're in a big flat area, or in an airplane, you're looking out the window. Let's say you can see, 50 miles or whatever the number is. It doesn't matter. You can see 50 miles ahead of you. We'll call that 12 o'clock. You can see 50 miles to the left, 9 o'clock. 50 miles to the right, 3 o'clock. And if you plotted all of those points and then connected them, you're drawing a big circle, a big flat circle. So when you look out an airplane, you do see a curve, but it's a big flat curve. And then your brain says, because of the programming, oh, it's a ball. But you're seeing a big flat curve to the vanishing point.
Mm.
Do you follow that?
Yes, I do, because the vanishing point is such an important issue here because, like when surveyors operate theodolites and that, when they're surveying, they don't allow for the curvature.
Yeah, no, they don't at all. Think about this. When they build a building, they use architects use what's called a plumb line. They hang a string with a weight on it, with a pointer, and that supposedly points to the center of the Earth from wherever they are, right? And that's the level line, and they build the building's corner will follow that line, and it's how they can keep it very straight. I'm sure there's other instruments they use, but that's the simplest way of doing it. So if you imagine that you had a whole bunch of these plumb lines going all the way around the Earth, basically they would be slicing the Earth into pizza slices, at angled slices. If I'm a mile over to the right or even just 50 yards over to the right, that plumb line isn't parallel with the other plumb line because it's making a piece of pizza wedge, which goes to the center of the Earth. So that means that buildings like the World Trade Towers or any other tall, wide building, that it would be wider at the top and thinner at the bottom. And they don't build buildings like that. They're exactly the same.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So
yeah, that's right.
That's not how it happens. It doesn't exist. Right there.
Yeah. Crazy stuff, isn't it? And, That's also was an interesting point picked up on that. What you just mentioned was the way the sun disappears. You know, people were so used to thinking that as the ball Earth is rotating, the sun disappears, or it appears. It appears, goes from east to west, and then disappears because the ball is rotating. But on our actual sight and the vanishing point of this dimensional stuff means that the sun is actually going out of our sight. Now, that's an interesting point to bring
up. Think about this. I just thought about this the other day. And if our horizon, you know, is supposedly 13 miles away, is, you know, if you're 6 feet tall, it's like 13 miles away, and then that's your horizon. So it's 13 miles in one direction, 13 miles in the other direction. If the sun is going over the horizon, it's only a tiny little section of the Earth. How do you get 12 hours of sun and 12 hours a night? You'd get like an hour of sun or less, and the rest would be night because the sun is over your horizon. That doesn't happen.
Yes.
It doesn't happen.
That's
so
right.
People say they see the sun setting, and there's simple experiments that you can do. Imagine yourself standing this is a stupid example I come up with. You're standing at a concert, and everyone's standing, and it's a long way up to the stage. And somebody right in front of you is holding a ball, we'll call it the sun, and it's 5 feet over your head. And he's holding it up over his head, and he's walking up towards the stage. As he goes up there, that ball is going to look lower and lower and lower, and eventually it's going to get blocked by the people in front of you, and it's going to look like it sets from the bottom up. You know, if you're driving down the road and the sun's in front of you and you got a building coming up, watch it. The sun will set behind the building, but it's really not. It's just an illusion with the vanishing point. And the vanishing point comes a lot quicker than you think. You know, I was at a friend's place the other day, and he's got a pier. It's literally probably 75, 100 feet long. You know, it's got rails on it. And I took a picture, and literally the rails almost merged together to a vanishing point in just 100 feet.
Mm.
So it's amazing. So I got a little experiment that people can try to demonstrate how things look like they get lower. Imagine you're on a street, a straight, flat street, and there's a bunch of street lights. Every, you know, 50 feet, there's another street light, and they're about 20, 30 feet above your head, whatever the height of a street light is. So you stand right under the street light, and over your head you have hanging a mirror that's facing straight down. You've rigged it all four corners to a center point, to a line, and that mirror is facing straight down, and it's 5 feet over your head, and you're standing underneath it, right underneath a light. You look up, no matter where you stand, no matter where you look, you cannot see that light in the downward-facing mirror, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
I don't.
So, well, I mean, did I explain that clearly, Garth, Adam? Do you see what I'm talking about?
Where do you place them? You've got the street lights on, okay.
So the street lights are on. They're 20, 30 feet over your head, and the mirror is hanging just 5 feet over your head, facing straight down. So when you look up at it, you see your face. The light is behind it. You can't see the light. Even if you change your angle, you can't see the light in that mirror because it's above the mirror, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So now, as you look down the road, the mirror, if you took a picture of it, you would see that each light is lower and lower on the picture, you know, but our brains just, you know, think, you know, it's the same height. But if you step back a little bit and look down the road and look at the mirror, you can see those lights in the mirror, but they're still 30 feet in the air and the mirror hasn't moved. How can you see those lights? It's just something to think about. Mm. It can see those lights that are 30 feet above it, and it's facing straight down. How can it see those lights? You know, and you're on a geographically flat street, so the street isn't going around the wrap of the earth or anything. You know, there's not a 30-foot curve in, you know, 100 yards. It's not going to happen. And you can see the light. I mean, that just teaches you that we have no idea what we're seeing.
Hmm. Dear me. You got me.
All right. Adam, you're a ball earth skeptic. You must have a question. You must say, how does this work? How does that work?
No, as I said, I'm just absorbing all this, you know. I've looked at it over the years, just seen it and not sort of taken much notice. Listening to all this, it's quite incredible. And, I'm not surprised by anything. And, David, I never did well in school. I hated it. And I was a fish out of water. It was just a feeling that I didn't understand. But then when you're that young, you lash out and you get in trouble because you don't understand. But, it just, your body knows, deep in that something's wrong here, what you're being told. You just don't know what it is or how to explain it. But, this is all really incredible stuff. And it does make absolute sense. I think we could actually, I have a question here from a listener. A very sort of simple one, Dave, if you could answer this one. Sure. They ask if the Earth's flat, then people obviously live at the ends and the edges of it, right? So is there a record of people sort of telling them, their kids and stuff, not to walk too close to the edge because they'll fall off the flat Earth?
That is the the number one thing people say. Where's
edge of the coin?
So let's talk about it. I started explaining it before, but I got sidetracked. You got this big flat sheet of ice. You got your capacitor rotating above it, and it's radiating heat, and that heat will melt out a certain. Let's say it's not moving yet. It's the sun. It's going to melt down below it. It's going to melt to the left of it, and it's going to melt to the right. To the right, we're going to say, is the North Pole. So the farther it gets away, the less it's going to melt, the cooler it's going to be. But it's going to melt out this giant flat glacier, so to speak, and it's going to leave – it doesn't quite get all the way to the North Pole from its position. So you have an ice cap, a northern frozen island on this flat – Earth to the right, and then as you get farther to the outside of the circle, it's going to leave a big ring in the ice. Basically, we've just melted a puddle in this ice sheet, and the outer side is an ice wall, and the inner side is an ice island. The North Pole, the Arctic is an ice island, and the Antarctic, the South Pole, which there is no South Pole, is basically an ice ring around us and not a continent below us. That makes sense. There's pictures. Just look at the flat Earth map. Search flat Earth map, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So that holds the water in. That holds everything. And the closer you get to it, the colder and more inhospitable it is. Admiral Byrd, I don't know, in the 1950s, supposedly went into Antarctica, went in farther than anyone else ever has. Said there's no life, there's no plants, there's no animals, there's nothing, just vast resources of fossil fuels and other things. And I believe he even said that he found a tropical land in Antarctica, which doesn't make any sense with the ball Earth model. But right after he did that, they came up with the Antarctic Treaty, which says nobody can go to Antarctica, not oil companies, nobody, and you can't even question this treaty until the year 2040. When have you heard 40 nations agree on anything, especially where there's vast resources in this supposedly resource scarce environment we're living in? It's bullshit.
What would happen if we went to the edge there, Dave?
Well, there is no edge, because when you get to Antarctica, finally you're going to hit where the sun can't melt the ice anymore. You're going to hit an ice wall. Some say that when you get to Antarctica, there's like a 200-foot ice wall, and then you get farther, it goes up to 2 miles high. And he supposedly flew over that, and he said it's just a barren, dark Iceland. I have a theory that maybe there are more capacitors out there with other northern poles and melting other pockets of civilizations, and maybe that's where aliens come from. This is pure speculation. But it sure makes a lot more sense than aliens traveling hundreds of trillions of incomprehensible light years and finding the speck drifting through space and coming here and visiting and then crashing, you know? Or is it more likely that they're just coming from, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 miles away and they have technology, you know, that's not fossil fuel based, that's, you know, anti-gravitics and can go much faster than we can, and boom, they zip over here in seconds, and they're back and forth daily, hourly.
What I wanted to ask you about as well, David, which is we talk about a lot, and it's very important. Is I'll just ask you, and let you have the floor and go over.
One thing, just that we call that puddle theory. That is just speculation. There's no proof of any of it, and it's just an idea that needs to be either proven incorrect or proven correct. All right.
So
all right, go ahead.
The images that we've been shown from NASA, everything is false. It's a lie. All this
all of them. All
satellites orbiting around us and all this stuff. So everything they've shown us. So my questions for you is we think that the Earth's a ball, and that's what we're growing up believing. So what does it actually sort of look like? Is it sort of like a coin on its back? Explain that a little bit. But also the moon landing is fake, obviously. So they've set that up. They faked it. And Garth and I were asking last week, why would they do all of this and try to convince the world that they did something they didn't? And we also, Dave, hear about all these billions of dollars disappearing into, you know, military trillions. Black budgets, trillions of dollars, you know, into these secret space programs and all this stuff. Obviously, they're fooling us and hoodwinking us to all look this other way while something else is going on underneath. You know, the mechanics underneath here interest me. What do you think they're doing underneath all of this, and why they've had to lie about all this? What's really going on here? But also, as I said, what would the Earth really look like then if we could actually really see it from outside?
It's the map that we kind of know spread out on a flat surface.
Like the UN
then,
map?
Like the UN map. It's exactly like that. Just look up the flat Earth map. You'll see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the northern areas, things make sense. In the southern areas, which is not the bottom, it's the outside of the center ring. That, you know, the center ring is the equator. When you get closer to North Pole, that's the, you know, when the sun goes wider and thinner throughout the year. Again, how the sun works on a flat Earth is one of the best videos. Maybe you can link it below so people can find it. And so when it's my summer here, I'm closer, the sun is closer doing smaller circles to the North Pole, and it's your winter in Australia. And then it doubles back, it crosses the equator and it's making big wide circles, and it's your summer and it's my winter because the sun is farther away from me. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Yeah, it certainly does.
And there's no shortcuts on a flat Earth. So the thing I want to talk about is airline travel in the south, in the southern hemisphere, which is the outer part of the circle. There's no shortcut from Santiago, Chile to Australia, because the shortest way would be just to cut over Antarctica and come around the other side, and there you are. It would be a 10-hour flight, but it doesn't work. You have to if you look at all of the flights that go from there, they go all the way up to like Dubai, and they make a huge V shape, traveling three times the distance, and with no explanation of why they would do that. And it's not to pick up other passengers. It's ridiculous. So they only do that in the southern hemisphere. Flight routes don't make any sense in the southern part of our world because the distances are much farther than a globe would show.
Mm. So the flat Earth, when you see it, the same flight path on a flat Earth, it's almost direct.
It's a straight line. You take that those coordinates exactly, and you go from Chile or you know, wherever you're coming from, and it line it up. It's a straight line, which makes perfect sense.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That flight a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people here throw another argument. People say, "Well, what about the South Pole stars? You know, going in the other direction around the South Pole star." One there is no South Pole Star 2. It doesn't go any other direction. No one's ever filmed it. And any of the films you see are fake. There's only one video that supposedly shows the sun going around, you know, where you have 24 hours of light in the South Pole. And it is faker than anything I've ever seen. It's laughable. I recommend everybody look it up. It's just this big fake sun with these big spires coming off of it. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah. So with the North Pole, Dave, it's actually in the center.
Yes.
And it's above. It's not like they allow you to picture like the North Pole on a globe is a frozen mass.
It is frozen because it's farther than the heat from the sun can get to. You know, the North Pole, the edges of the ice ring on the ice, you know, it's an island of ice. It retreats in the summer. In my summer, it gets smaller because the sun is coming closer to the North Pole. So it melts it a little bit. Then the sun goes back over the equator, back out to your side, and the North Pole ice grows back out again because the sun's so far away. So in the summer, you could have, you know, when it's your summer, the North Pole gets zero sun. It gets, you know, midnight. It gets, it's 24 hours of darkness because the light of the sun can't make it to the North Pole. But that never happens in Antarctica. And anyone that says it does can't prove it. You get 24 hours of darkness, but you never get 24 hours of light because the sun is going around and lighting up parts of Antarctica all the time, but other parts go into the darkness. So it gets very little sun and a lot of dark.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's certainly makes a lot of sense to me anyway. I can't see it. That's why I've always had difficulty with a round Earth. Well, they're trying to understand these things because, you know, they rabble on and they tell you all this stuff and they give you a few equations and all this stuff and this is why it should happen, but they never really explain it.
Well, maybe that was what the fake moon landing was all about, convincing us that we have a ball Earth, you know?
Yeah.
There's only one photograph ever taken. Well, I hate when people say that because NASA says there's only one photograph ever taken, but it's fake. It's fake. And there's a video, I think it's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, and it's footage that shows how they faked it through a round window filming it. You know, they even put an insert in the window to make it look like it was partially dark.
I saw that. Yeah.
And you know what the thing is? I don't know if that was leaked out or purposely let out, because I believe that the powers that be, whoever they are or whatever they are, have a requirement to give us free will, the law of consent, the law of free will. And basically, if we don't say no, then they have consent. And that's why that's one of the reasons why they telegraph this stuff. And we, you know, they can't start wars without us until we bang the war drum. So they created 9/11. Everyone banged the war drum, and they had their plan: problem, reaction, solution. They want to invade these countries. They create 9/11. Everybody reacts. Boom, solution. Invade these countries.
Do you think their idea is here, Dave, by making us think that the Earth is a ball? What do they get out of this? What's happening? Have you been able to look at this? Find out anything?
Yeah. So here is the reason that this is the greatest secret ever kept.
Yeah.
So if you had a tiger and kept him in a cage, he'd be pretty pissed off. He wouldn't be happy. And that would be it. But if you put him in a gigantic safari park, he's going to be happy. He's got, you know, he's got animals in there. He's got other tigers. And one day he comes to the edge of the park and he finds the fence. He's going to turn around. He's going to go back in the woods. He's still going to be happy because he's a tiger. Right. But if you put a human in a safari park and he finds the fence, no matter how big that park is, he's going to want to go out the other side because our curiosity of what is going on out there is unstoppable. So if the Earth, you know, our wall is the frozen lands of Antarctica, which is our wall. There's also another wall above us that NASA calls the Van Allen Radiation Belt, which NASA announced literally the same year as they came in with the Antarctic Treaty, saying, oh, there's this Van Allen Radiation Belt and no human can ever go through it. So they put a fence over us and a fence around us. And people believe that, hey, if I keep going east or west, I'm going to come right back to where I am. So everything's been discovered and everyone's content. As soon as human beings find out that there's more and it's very close, there's no controlling us. And it's all about control.
So if there is another world out past this ice barrier.
There may be worlds above us, below us, and outside of our area. You know, different dimensions, different layers of civilization. I truly believe that there's a lot going on underground that we're unaware of. Not, you know, excluding, you know, the underground cities that they're secretly building. That there's different dimensions of reality. There's all types of stuff. But I'm, again, pure speculation that I think that there's other pockets, thermal pockets of melted ice that other civilizations live in. And that maybe the millions of people and children that disappear unexplained every year, maybe they're being moved there. It's a possibility. I used to think that they were being moved to Mars or there was other civilizations on other planets. But then I found out the Earth is not a planet. Planets are planets. You know, they're very similar to stars. And they are very equal in distance to stars, and they called planets wandering stars back when people knew the Earth was flat. And they do have effects on our life. You know, we are in a intelligently created world.
So they
want us to believe that we're a speck in an infinite cosmos, you know, but that was created by random chance, rather than if you look at the flat Earth. You know, I've been pretty much an atheist my whole life, spiritual, but we're not a god. I believed in evolution, and then when you look at it, you're like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And there is some sort of creator. You can call him whatever you want. But this is an intelligently designed world that we live in, and that's the last thing they want us to know, because they have zero power over us unless we stay plugged into the matrix in a vibration of fear. And that's what they do. They keep us in fear, yep. Terrorists and poisons, yes. Yep. And yep. All this stuff. But if you raise your vibration to a zero fear, they have no power over you whatsoever. They scare you with the IRS. They scare you with, you know, you're not going to have food and you have to have your job. You know, people get up, they go to work, they work all day. They drive in their car that they're making payments on to go to work, to pay for the house that they would like to live in, but they spend all their time at work. They come home, they drink, they watch sports, just like the Roman days. They had the Colosseum, and then they go back to work and they think they're happy.
Yes.
And you get shoveled into a hole.
Get shoveled
right.
Into a hole.
Yeah. I know this is quite a deep thing as well, Dave, but there's people looking into, is the Earth a hologram, a projected image? But that too comes out in the mainstream media, so that sort of confuses me, is the universe around us a hologram? Is the Earth being projected? Is our whole reality as we see it, or we think we see it, are just a hologram?
I believe there are tons of scientists out there that that don't know that are everything's very compartmentalized, and people do good research. There's one scientist, I forget who it was, said we know that atoms are made up of 99.99% empty space, and then the particles in there are actually made up of 99.999% empty space. So he said whatever matter is, it's not matter, okay? And so we live in an energetic, electric universe. You know, a piece of steel has stronger bonds than a piece of balsa wood. And, everything is different vibrations of energy. So if that is true, which it sure appears to be, you can change these things with stuff that we don't even have words for. You know, right now, today, actually. You know about CERN, the most expensive project done in the history of mankind, the particle collider. You guys are familiar with CERN? They say it's to find the God particle. BS. They're trying to rip a hole in the fabric of time and space and open up a portal to other dimensions. And I kind of believe that, you know, if you think about it, 200 years ago, we were riding horses and buggies and we had no technology. And now look at us. We've got computers. We've got, you know, particle colliders. I believe that I'll say people, put quotation marks around it, that are running the show here, have given us this technology. An advanced civilization has given us this technology so we can build this this device for them and create the reality that they're looking for. They're trying to, you know, change the entire nature of the earth to be their kingdom, and we are just useless eaters in their minds.
So it's obviously something they don't understand as well. I mean, they're not a part of this as well. If it is a holographic image, they're just trying to ruin everything. But it's interesting to think of who did create this. What are we, and what is actually going on here? Because we're talking the other week, Dave, about consciousness, that it's pretty much proven now that our consciousness survives the death of our body. And so
absolutely.
What are we? What's going on?
Right. We're taught to believe that our brain is our consciousness. No, our brain is just the receiver of our consciousness. Yeah. A radio or television is a receiver of a signal. You don't like the newscaster on, you smash the TV with a hammer. The guy's still there. His consciousness is still there. You're just not tuning into it. You know, we are just, I tune in the frequency of David Weiss, and that's where I am. I'm all-powerful spiritual being, massively having a tiny little human experience in this projected 3D reality, which is really a tough place to be.
I wonder if it's a test, Dave. What do you reckon? Do you think it's a test?
I think that we're here to, by choice, to expand the universe and expand our consciousness. But while we're here, there's been a hijacking of this place, and it's quarantined, so to speak, and they're letting us sort it out. And we, you know, all we need to do is get enough people to wake up, unplug from the power system, and stop feeding them our power, because that's what they survive on. Money, you know, dollars are nothing. They're worthless. They're a way to transmit our energy. You know, everybody worships the dollar. I can get in, if we do a 9/11 show, I'll tell you all about the money and what it is.
That'd be great.
But
I'd be interested in that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's an amazing one. But it's a way to get the energy from us. You know, everybody wants their dollars and they're trading them, and they don't want our money. They want our energy. You know, when a tragedy happens like 9/11 or Sandy Hook or something, everyone's watching, sending out this energy, you know, this fear energy, and they feed upon this. And you say, well, that's kind of weird. You know, how do people feed on energy? You know, there's the sun creates energy in solar panels, and we use that to physically move things. It's not much different than that. You know, our hearts send out energy. It's been proven. They've measured it in a room where your heart energy affects everybody within like 25 feet of you. I believe it affects everybody across the flat earth.
Yes.
What are we dealing with here, Dave? We're just dealing with the controllers, or the Illuminati, as they're called, on this planet. Are we just dealing with evil men and women, or are we dealing with something else here? Has there been an interference in mankind? Because we hear with guys like Lloyd Pye, you know, and all these researchers, that there was an interference there with human beings into breeding or something to change us. That's very interesting.
I believe. Yeah, they've changed
theory.
Us. And now they're changing us with all the chemical spraying in the sky. We have nanoparticles in our body. If you if you look up on YouTube, Anthony Patch, he just did an interview on the Hagman and Hagman show. And if you listen to that, you're going to have to listen to it twice. He explains what's going on with CERN, what's going on with transhumanism, and what their plans are with CERN, and how they can activate. They can actually control us. When they switch this stuff on, they can control our the way we think and the decisions that we make. I know it sounds sci-fi, but it's all coming out of DARPA, and it's not come by organically. We've been assisted in this technology.
Sort of like a moat. Well, that's what we've heard, these the little moats that they're putting into the atmosphere that can send and receive information. And I guess if they get in our bodies, they can set up sort of a brain interface. Yeah, and so this is a worry because we're all, Garth and I talked about this, we're all worried and arguing about vaccinations, but we probably could already be getting them through breath, you know, whatever they're putting in our bodies.
Absolutely.
Above. Yeah.
And on vaccinations, there's no vaccination ever under any circumstance that has done any good. Vaccinations are a control system that dumb us down and make us sick and then feed the multi-trillion-dollar pharmaceutical mafia. The vaccinations did not cure polio. They did nothing. Yeah. If I stepped on a rusty nail today and went through my foot, I would not get a vaccination. I would just put some colloidal silver on it and I would call it a day.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they're forcing it now, and we're getting that in Australia and America. They're forcing
us. They can't because we are sovereign human beings, and the only way they can force it is if you agree that they're and you're letting them force it.
Oh, not saying anything, as you said. Yeah.
Yeah. They're but they're going to make it tough. They're going to say, "Oh, well, you didn't get a vaccination. Well, you can't work here." They can do that.
Yeah.
And they could say, "Well, you know, everyone's on the dole for food because they blew up the economy. Well, you can't get food unless you get vaccinated." They can do that.
Yes.
And that's how they're going to force people to take these poisonous dumbing down shots.
Yeah.
I have a couple friends that have had children, the young children, and they've never had them vaccinated. And these kids are the brightest eyed, most intelligent kids, healthy as unbelievably healthy. You know, maybe they get a little cold now and then, but then they build the immunity. And I don't see any other kids. You give me a room full of 3-year-olds. I can tell you which ones are vaccinated and which ones aren't.
According to Rupert Murdoch's newspapers in Australia, David, you're a child killer. You're a murderer, because that's what they're saying. So it's and the people are buying this is frightening and it's staggering.
Well, YouTube has changed their policy recently that anything that opposes, like if you're against war, if you're against if you're questioning the official story on a massacre or anything, that is no longer allowed, and the videos get restricted or they get demonetized and they get removed without explanation and without a way to appeal.
Yes, it's almost fortunately,
there's movements to overcome that. Because Google is so powerful in the social media scene, but there are movements now and getting fairly strong where people don't have to use Google. And I think this could, you know, as you were just talking about people creating their own minds and stop this fear bit, is very, very important because they're using that all the time. I mean, they use that, as you were just talking then, say, for instance, on our licenses and everything we do, we sign a contract with them, and then therefore they control us. You know, you can't drive your car, you can't go to work then. And all this thing, one thing leads to another. And it's all based on fear, just as you guys were talking about. And the same thing is happening with this Google, because they're bringing in the newspapers, I understand. And they're going to start preaching the newspapers because they're all starting to fail. As more people are waking up, they're not buying newspapers. So therefore, they're going to use the social media like Twitter and Google. But fortunately, there's so many bright people out there that are able to contest this. What do you think about that, Dave, just on a passing note?
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
The question is that Google, you were just talking with Adam about it, about Google is changing the way information can be released. Whereas, in fact, there are groups of people who are competing against that. But how do
they're ranking.
Everything we do is controlled because we actually agree to it.
Right.
You were talking about free will.
Yeah. So they were agreeing to it. So you have to – there's other search engines. I forget what the names are that will rank based on content rather than rank based on somebody's determination of how true it is, you know. So they're sifting everything. You know, my YouTube account is constantly, the numbers are frozen. It doesn't show up in people's feeds, yeah. You know, all sorts of stuff. And they quietly delete your videos without telling you, not right away, but because they don't want you to notice. But then you go back and you look and your video, they're just gone. No explanation. You know, people say, you know, you talk about all these things. They say, you know, this is fear mongering, you know, and you don't have anything positive to say. And I look at it completely different. You know, you wake up to reality. First, it's a little shocking. Then it's a little depressing. And then you get pissed off. And then you get empowered because you know the truth and you disconnect from feeding the monster. And that's our key to freedom. So I've been waking people up to 9/11, Sandy Hook, Boston, and all the other false flags. And guess what happens when you wake them up? At first, it's very difficult, too. But when they finally wake up, they're like, okay, 9/11, you know, what are we going to do about it? They get up, they go to work, they come home, they drink, they watch stupid television, they watch sports, and they go back to work. But if you wake them up to the flat earth, I think this is the one that will change people.
You question everything when you when you know this, you question absolutely everything.
Right. And Matt, if you know who Max Egan is, he does a lot of good work. I love his show, but he is so anti-flat earth. He says, you know, there's more important things. You know, he's really into the struggle in Gaza, and he's absolutely right, but he doesn't see the picture on the flat earth. You know, is the flat earth taking attention away from very important things? Unfortunately, it does a little bit at first. But, you know, if you wake somebody up to the flat earth, they can now see reality. You know, my Exposing the Big Three Facebook page, the reason I had that out there is because there's so much evidence on 9/11, Sandy Hook, and Boston that if you just get somebody to wake up to one of them, boom, they can see all of them, and then they can see more, and their eyes are open. Literally, the movie The Matrix with Keanu Reeves is a documentary, right? We're not necessarily physically plugged into the Matrix, but we are spiritually, energetically plugged in.
Yeah.
And once you unplug yourself, you're no longer feeding the monster.
Yeah, yeah, just you wanting to, though. You just got to want it, Dave. Just say no, you know? That's what they want, don't they? You know,
right?
They want you. If you don't say anything, you know, if you go into hospital and you don't tell them, they're just going to vaccinate you or your kids. You know, you got to stand up and say no. I don't want this anymore. Not going to have
sure.
it. Not going to buy it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's amazing, but you know, we have to do another show soon, Dave, with you about this Sandy Hook and 9/11, because this all does tie into all of this. It's very important for people to get their heads around this, and Garth and I have been talking about it since we started this podcast, and always say that we're going to keep bringing it up and keep talking to people. There are people out there who know something's wrong, but they're just arrogant and they just refuse because they're scared. But it's really important that people understand what was done there. And all these fakery, trickery, false flags. But I'm very interested in Sandy Hook and your takes on this, because we haven't spoken to someone about that yet. So very, very interesting.
I live very close to Sandy Hook. I live in Connecticut.
Wow, so, that's crazy.
An amazing, amazing hoax. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. It's complete, utter fraud. And the information's coming out. We're actually have a hearing next week on Tuesday that is going to expose a lot of the fraud. But the problem is, the corruption goes all the way to the top. So they're never going to go, yeah, you got us. We did it. They're going to get caught in all of the squirming and wiggling and breaking of laws not to be exposed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. But I also realize that exposing Sandy Hook to the point where it goes mainstream, if it ever gets there, they're just going to hit the reset button and it's not going to be pretty, because they can never admit it. It's the end of the government when it goes mainstream, Sandy Hook, 9/11, or Boston were false, fake hoaxes.
Yeah, you wonder how desperate they're going to get if that happens, you know?
They're going to be, you know, when you have a psychopath, they're psychopaths.
Oh, yeah.
You get a psychopath in a corner and there's no way out, he's going to destroy everything.
They're mucking around with black plague and all these, you know, viruses and stuff. So they're just out of their minds. Out of their minds.
Well, maybe what you said was that the flat earth was the one to sort of follow, because that's a very difficult one for a lot of people to get over. I mean, you know, people talk about conspiracy theories and all this sort of stuff, and then it gets refuted by others, and it gets very complex sometimes for people to follow through because, you know, I just in my own sphere here, you talk to people and their eyebrows go up. And it can be quite simply about 9/11. People in my own neighborhood here still think that the planes caused the fires in the building which sent them down. But with that flat earth, that would be a real one for people to open their minds to.
Sure.
I definitely agree with that. I think that's very important because if people can understand the reality, their reality, where they actually live, as you mentioned, they can also understand all the things about why they're vaccinating us, the chemtrails, 9/11, et cetera. It all falls into place.
Right. Once you wake up to one, you can start waking up to all of them.
Especially the big one, because it's NASA is so massive and the lies they've been telling us. You know, I still got people here that you mentioned the visit to the moon was a hoax, and they almost burst out laughing.
I was the same way. I was the same way. But here's the problem. You know, the visits to the moon, very patriotic, proud moment, emotional, and our emotional brains rule over our logical brains. And basically, our logical brain takes a side seat to the emotional brain, and people really can't think when they're emotional. You know, that's why if you're emotional and you're having a fight with somebody, you got to calm down first before you can fight logically. And that's what happens in all of these events. They're designed to kick your emotional brain in. And, you know, people don't like pain, and emotional pain is worse than physical pain. And waking up to this stuff involves a little bit of emotional pain that you've been lied to, and people would rather not do it. So if you don't believe something, you're not going to spend 5 or 10 or 20 hours researching it. You're just not going to do it. So what I've been kind of specializing in is I make 2-minute videos, 3-minute videos, 5-minute videos, you know, a minute video just to tease them, you know, to like, whoa, that's interesting. And then they'll watch a 20-minute video, and then they'll go in and watch the full series. And, you know, everyone's doing their part to help wake people up, and it's working exponentially. You know, I've done a podcast for the last 2 years, and I couldn't even mention Sandy Hook at the beginning, but now it's a given. Everyone knows.
Yes.
Everyone knows. And people are waking up really fast. And you know what I've noticed? It's actually easier to wake somebody up to the flat earth than it is to wake them up to the 9/11. I guess that's
right?
Because, yeah, it's amazing. Like, I woke up 10 out of 10 people without even trying. I was just like, you know, I planted a couple seeds, and then I said, check this out. And they're like, oh, my God.
They can't believe the government would do that to human beings. That's because people are good. You know,
I don't believe the government killed that many people. I believe their plan was to kill nobody on 9/11, but to make it look like 3,000 people died. Mm. I know that people did die. I had some friends that worked in the top of those towers, and they are gone. And I say that very carefully. They're gone. I don't know if they're dead. They're presumed dead, but they might just be gone. You know, they were making buckets of money, so much that it couldn't have been legal. And maybe they were financially compromised, and this entire firm of Cantor Fitzgerald was going to go to jail for the rest of their lives unless they participated in this hoax and were relocated somewhere else on this thermal pocket or perhaps another thermal pocket.
Oh, how deep does the rabbit hole go?
It goes so deep. And that is actually the name of the podcast that I do, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole.
A room of broken mirrors.
It's every time you think you got to figure it out, there's something else. You know, this flat earth thing really bowled me over. You know, we started a Facebook page called, and I recommend, you know, and everyone check it out. It's called Ball Earth Skeptic, where we come there and just watch the videos. Watch one a day, watch two a day, or just let them pop up in your newsfeed, and it will wake you up to, you know, the truth of the flat earth that we live on.
This is what the media are doing, Dave. So it's a good idea what you're saying there. You know, we do our podcasts, we put little trickets of this out, bits of information out, because that's what the media do every day in the newspapers and on the TV, don't they? They just keep lying and lying and lying over and over, but they do it constantly, the same thing. And so people just give up after a while and get used to it, and it just becomes the norm. But anyone who wakes up to it realizes, hey, this is the same exact news from bloody well 10 years ago, you know, and every night's the same. You know, the little political stories, the bullshit, and then, you know, the sports, and then the weather with the animal fluffy story at the end. And, you know, and so we have to do this same line, I think, just keep pushing out little bits of information and talking and getting all this stuff out. And that's why we're doing a podcast, and you do it, and linking up with people, and people start coming on board, you know.
Yeah, definitely. If people are looking for a place, you know, to check out some of the things I talk about, my website is Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, or you can just go DITRH.com for short. My YouTube channel is DITRH, stands for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. Check that out. Facebook, Exposing the Big Three for 9/11 Sandy Hook in Boston, Ball Earth Skeptic for all things flat earth. And, you know, one way to wake people up is if you're using their computer or borrowing their iPhone at any time, open up their Facebook and like all these pages and then walk away. and then it shows up in their feed, and it's actually quite effective. They're like, wait a minute, what is this? You know, and they check it out. And then once you plant that seed of light, of information, there's no taking it away.
That's right. Yeah, I've done that myself, Dave, so I've liked all those. Is there anything else before we wrap it up today? Twitter, any YouTube? Do you have a YouTube channel? Anything else you want people to check out?
Yeah, so the YouTube is DITRH. I've got a lot of stuff up there, a lot of Flat Earth stuff. Just the website, everything is linked on deepinsidetherabbithole.com.
Okay.
That's where all the links are to all of the Facebook pages and YouTube pages. And there's really, like, if you really want to dig into 9/11, I have a 9/11 intro page, 9/11 Pentagon, Pennsylvania, no planes, mind control, and directed energy. And I recommend going through them in order if you're new to this. And when you come out the other side, you'll know what didn't happen on 9/11, and you'll know pretty much what did happen on 9/11.
Absolutely.
So we can go off on 9/11, but let's do another show specifically on 9/11, and we can really tear that one open.
Because there's a lot of stuff coming out, you know, with the with the nuclear and now the direct energy. So yes, that'll be very interesting.
Right. I'll make a little plug for 9/11. If you really want to know what's going on 9/11, you have to get Dr. Judy Wood's book, "Where Did the Towers Go?"
Yeah, well, I've read that.
You read it cover to cover?
Yes, I've read. Well, when I say cover to cover, there's a lot of the engineering stuff in there with the all the stuff about I couldn't understand.
I found
a lot of the summaries were helpful.
It's very simple. If you read it and think about it, just read a little bit, think about it. It's not that complicated. And reading it cover to cover makes all the difference in the world on what's going on there. So 9/11 was a combination of many things, and it wasn't just directed energy, but directed energy is one of the main factors on 9/11. 9/11 was planned before the towers were built. Yeah. It had nothing to do with terrorists. I'll just give you one little tidbit. In America, flying from the airports where the planes were hijacked, the East Coast airports, they were all transcontinental flights going to California, so they had lots of fuel, you know, because you needed the lots of fuel story, because the airplanes only carry the amount of fuel that they need for their flight. So they were all California flights, all early morning flights. There's about 36 flights from the East Coast in the early morning to the West Coast, because you get a time shift and you can land on the West Coast at like 10 o'clock in the morning and have a full day of work. So business-wise, Monday through Friday, those 36 flights are booked solid with standby passengers waiting. You know, you usually have to book them like a week in advance or longer. And so they're all booked. On 9/11, all the flights were standing room only, you know, or you know, waiting, you know, standby only, except the four flights that were hijacked. They were only 20 or 30% full. How does that happen? And flight 11 and flight 175 weren't even scheduled to fly that day. So if they did, how did they even get passengers? It's a bunch of bullshit. It's a complete media fakery. It's the 9/11 show. And that's what happened. And if you, I'll lay it out where you can see that it was completely orchestrated, mind control. 9/11 was a theft of consciousness and the ability to think rationally.
Well said. Yep.
Yeah. That's been great, Dave. Yes. Very interesting.
Absolutely. Much to think about.
It's absolutely ridiculous, but I recommend going through the videos on my page.
It's a big sign.
It's getting big. And by the way, it's not beautiful. It's big type and videos, easy to read, easy to navigate. And I'm not a web designer. I just start pasting stuff up there to get the information out. So yeah. I even say that on the front page, don't give me any crap. For my web design. Yeah. Because it's the best I can do.
that's good. All right, so that's going to give me more things to look at. But I'm very fascinated with this flat earth, David, and I've always been fascinated with 9/11 because as it's evolved with the interest all around the world and people like yourself studying it, stuff is still coming out, and I just can't believe it.
Well, there's also fake information coming out too to distract people. There's we'll talk about that when we do the 9/11 show. But I wanted to there's one thing I forgot to mention, or there's 100 things, but I want to mention one more thing about the flat Earth. People say when they find out that satellites are not real, they freak out, and I was one of them. I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?" He said, "They have to be real. DirecTV, you know, GPS, right? GPS is a ground-based cell phone and radio antenna system that triangulates your area." When I was a kid, long before GPS, we had what was called the Loran system, and it was radio waves that this receiver would pick up, and it would give you two sets of numbers. You go on your chart, and it tells you exactly where you are on a printed out chart. And I was actually driving my boat in the total fog and rain, and I'm like heading looking for a buoy, and I actually hit the buoy. It was that accurate. I actually rammed the buoy with my boat. In the middle of the body of water I was in. And what they did is they took that system and they put a computer graphic overface on it and called it GPS. Pictures taken from airplanes or high-flying drones or whatever you want to say they are, and interfaced with this ground-based system, and it makes perfect sense. It works perfectly. And even in areas where there's no cell service, people say, well, GPS works in no cell areas. So that proves that it's not – that satellites are involved. False. It works on radio waves also. And radio waves cover the entire planet. You know why? Because the Earth is flat.
Yes.
They were in the 1920s or 40s or whatever it was. They were transmitting from mid-America to Hawaii and Paris via radio waves. Okay?
Very important point.
Impossible on a flat Earth. I mean, on a round Earth.
Come on, Dave. Yeah. TV comes from space.
Right. TV, of course it does.
Hollywood isn't on this planet. It's on the moon. Yeah,
do you think you guys have smartphones? You have smartphones when they locate me where I am, they don't locate me on the – they show me where I am in my house. You know, it's within feet. And do I believe that my cell phone is connecting to satellites? Of course not. It's connecting to cell towers that are triangulating my area, and it works great. Think about it. The Earth is spinning. The satellites are going in 100 different directions. There's 15,000 satellites, and you're connecting to 7 of them to triangulate your area within a fraction of a foot. You know, it's
crazy.
Laughable.
We keep hearing Russia and China and the U.S. They're sending all these satellites up there. You're thinking, how many are there? It's crazy stuff.
That's another thing. Well, Russia's in on it too, or China's in on it too. You know what? you know, the Cold War between Russia and America. How many battles were there? There was zero because there was no Cold War. It's like the Republicans and Democrats in the United States. They're two puppets. They're one puppet, two arms, you know, and all of these different countries and stuff, they're all in it together. All of these governments, you know, the big ones are in it together, and they're, you know, little ones pop up, you know, like, you know, Libya and Iraq, but as soon as they get out of line, they're taken out. You know, as soon as they oppose the main plan, they're wiped out.
They're upper sames, Dave. That's what David Icke calls them. Our political parties, upper sames.
Yeah,
this is a wrestling match, putting on a show for the people. It's unbelievable. We keep buying it anyway.
For those of you listening that there's probably a few questions that you have. You know, what about this for the flat Earth? What about that? Well, guess what? All of those questions have been answered, and they've all been answered in the videos on deepinsidetherabbithole.com. Top right link says, "Is the Earth a ball?" Click on that. Watch all the videos, then ask a question.
That'll go up today with the podcast, Dave. Goes to iTunes and everywhere, so the links will be right underneath this podcast show for today for people to go there, and they can get all the answers off the website.
Yeah. I mean, watch the videos. You know, the problem is people watch one video and they go, what about this? I'm not watching the rest, you know, because it's stupid. Well, guess what? It's not stupid. They might be stupid.
Well, it doesn't have Kim Kardashian in it.
I actually have Kim Kardashian hidden in one of those videos. Let me know when you find it.
Oh, there you go.
I love there's a meme that somebody made. It's a picture of Neil Armstrong and a picture of Kim Kardashian doing a selfie in the bathroom. And it says, I went to the moon and took 6 pictures. And she's like, I went to the bathroom and took 4,000 pictures.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you say, you know what? There's proof we went to the moon. Let's look at the moon rocks and the pictures and the telemetry data. Oh, guess what? NASA lost it. Well, what about the Saturn V rocket? You know, let's look at that. All of that was lost also. And there's only one moon rock, I believe, that's left, and it was recently proved that it's petrified wood. It's not even a rock.
Yes, fascinating. And they got away with it.
They did because people trust authority, you know. Put on a white coat and you're a scientist or a doctor and you can't be questioned.
It is the Matrix, David. It's this whole false reality that's been pulled over our eyes to blind us from the truth, you know.
It certainly is.
Just blank straight over. You know?
Well, it's quite amazing that, you know, there was a guy in 1893, a Professor Orlando Ferguson, who was going on about the Earth. So science has definitely known about it. And, I mean, all these scientists that agree with the round Earth, they are nothing but shills, really, in reality.
These are people that are pretending to be scientists. Lots of them are brainwashed because, you know, you go to school and you get a degree, and the better you do just means the more you're willing to be indoctrinated and spit out the same facts, you know, quotation mark, that the same bullshit that they want you to learn. And then you become a professor and you spew the same bullshit again and again. And if you ever question it, you lose all your funding. You get laughed out of your profession. You know, pilots that realize the Earth is flat, who are they going to tell? They're going to go to their boss and tell them they're going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose their pensions. You know, everyone likes their, you know, they pay them well enough, you know, and they've got great benefits. You know, they know it and they're just keeping their mouth shut because that, you know, what do they have to gain by it?
But well, if ever the sleeping lion, as they say, awakens, it's going to snowball, isn't it? It's like the old deck of cards. It's all going to come out.
I believe we're very, very close to that, and it's going to happen soon. You know, I believe that the reason that they're so sloppy in these things that they do at times is because they want us to wake up. They want us to revolt, because once we revolt – it could get so ugly out there by, you know, when the power goes out, people go crazy, you know, the uneducated people riot, and then the rest of the people will beg for martial law. They'll beg to be, save us, help us. And that's what they want. They want our permission to come in and take away our rights. I believe that their plan is to essentially blow up the system, you know, economically and with war and everything, but have us beg for that. So that happens. Then living becomes so horrible for maybe 20 years that this generation that realizes, hey, big houses and nice lifestyles are great. Everyone that, you know, the new generation won't know what that's like. They'll live in a poverty stricken, you know, there'll be a huge die-off, and then they'll come around with the Agenda 21 communities. We're like, hey, we'll give you this little space to live in, you know, 500, 600 square feet, where you can take public transportation and you can work in the factory, and they will be grateful for that job. Yeah. Because we will never be, because we know what freedom is like, but they're going to push people to the point where they're going to be grateful for that, and there is their new world order.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Couldn't agree more with that, David.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We have to wake up. We have to wake up in mass to stop this. They're showing us in the movies, you know, these zombie movies and apocalyptic movies all the time now.
You know? Right. It's you like know what a zombie is though? You know what the real zombie is? You know, in America, a third of America is on psychotropic drugs.
Yeah,
so you blow up the economy, turn off the power. You know, we had a blackout here for about 5 days a couple of years ago, and it literally people were fighting. It was incredible. Freaking people ran out of food, freaking out. But you turn it off for an extended period of time, and guess what? Everything stops. Food stops. Prescription drug stops. Now you have all of these moms. Now I'm not just targeting moms, but I'll just start with moms who are cold turkey off their Prozac and their Valium, and they're starving and their kids are starving. You know what you get? You get a friggin' zombie that will do anything to get food for their kids, and they'll be insane.
Yep.
And that's the zombie apocalypse that could very well happen if people don't wake up very soon.
The zombies are us. Yeah, they've been showing us. Yeah, it doesn't actually mean we're going to be zombies. People need to take note of this. They're showing you, you know, what could be coming. So, and people, as you said, Dave, they'll turn on each other very quickly. And, you know, it's a pretty scary scenario, really, that, you know, no food, no water, nothing, gone. And we're so used to having our... A lot of people used to have any luxury, Dave, so, you know, their technology, everything when they want it, and their TV and everything, you know, and it's when that gets taken away, they're not going to know what to do at all.
Right, when it shuts down, it's going to shut down fast and hard, and say, you know, if the power goes off within 2 months, there'll be like a 60% die-off. 60%, maybe more.
Yeah, Yeah, I know.
By starvation, disease, suicide, and murder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what you seem to do, murder each other. Yeah.
So, you know, so this is another thing, you know, the law of free will, they can't take our life without our permission.
Yep.
So the elite, George Bush, you know, didn't kill anybody during the Gulf War. He just convinced other morons to go do it for him. Exactly. So, you know, if they train you to be a military and they bring you there and they order you to do this and you do it, you did it on your own free will. They didn't murder anybody.
And making you know, us do it to ourselves, yeah.
The Clintons, the death list around the Clintons didn't kill anybody. They've got people working for them that are willing to do it. And they don't realize that, you know, karma is a thing. And you know, the elite know of the spiritual world that we live in, and that free will can't be taken away. If you take someone's free will, your free will is going to be taken away. If you kill somebody, it's going to come back way worse on you, and they know that. But they can trick us into doing it for them.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very
yes,
important.
Yes. That's rather frightening, isn't it?
it's frightening, but then once you know it, it's empowering. Yep. You have to remember that this information is the most interesting, most empowering information anybody could ever have, because when you have it, when you embrace it, you basically become you know, some people will say that angels are protecting them, God's protecting them, that, you know, but it's the universe, you know, whatever word you want to use, you know, you have God-given rights, universal rights, whatever you want to say. You know, I used to listen to shows and stuff, and as soon as they brought up God, I'm gone. I'm on to something else. Now, as soon as they bring up God, I'm listening. It's interesting. Yeah. You know, there's some interesting stuff out there, but I don't know. I just don't know anymore. You know, people say everything can't be a hoax. And I used to be like, yeah, what isn't a hoax? And can you guys come up with something that's not fake?
It's just crazy. You know,
they say,
don't want to go too far, Dave, but then, you know, you just,
tell me something major that's happened that is not a hoax.
It's pretty damn difficult, isn't it?
And that makes you crazy. And that makes people that are asleep say, everything can't be a hoax. Therefore, nothing's a hoax. That's the world we live in.
These people that are running the world or, you know, in this system, they make movies for a living as well. That's what they do. They make incredible movies.
They made it
going to the moon. You know, they make movies and they trick us. And that's what the problem is, Dave, is that our lines of reality are so blurred now between what's real and a movie. And so we've talked about that with 9/11. You saw that happen. It seemed like a movie, like your brain couldn't compute it. You know, it's like, is this really happening? Because particularly with Americans, they watch so many of these movies and it's just blurred now. You know,
they used to say that Hollywood controls the world. And I used to laugh at that. It's total mind programming.
Absolutely.
I do enjoy a good movie, but I look at it and I'm like, wow. And you don't even catch half the stuff. But thank for YouTube and so many people looking at the same thing that their people are dissecting it. And if you take time and go through YouTube, there's amazing stuff there. People say, you know, well, you learned it on YouTube, therefore it's bullshit. Bullshit. There's a lot of crap on YouTube, and there's a lot of great stuff on YouTube. There's an Indian guy out there who's a math professor that has put up an entire catalog of everything you need to know about math. It's better than any college math course you could ever take, and it's on YouTube. I say YouTube University is better than any college out there as long as you set up the right curriculum.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's right. We don't have to be negative about what's around us now. We just need to find a way to make it better, you know? And so that's the thing. If we demonize everything and we're scared of it and we hate it and we get angry at it, it's not going to fix it. We need to look at it and make it better.
Right. So, again, it's easy to say, my God, this stuff is so scary. This stuff is so depressing. It's not.
When you find
out the truth,
it's
totally positive.
Yeah.
And you got to take it positive. And just like, you know what? You just found out that the government is really here to kill us. You know, they want to reduce the population to 500 million. You know, not like that's written in stone. Oh, wait a minute. It is written in stone. And knowing that is empowering because you don't have to be part of it. Knowing that vaccines are not for public health is empowering.
Exactly.
Yes, it is. I agree there totally because it is empowering. I mean, it does get depressing, and you do go through it because there's so much of it. And wherever you look, as you said, what isn't false? It's very, very difficult.
You know what? The only depressing part is that other people don't get it. I get it now. I see it. I've never been happier in my entire life. I am unplugging from the system more and more every day. Although, you know, I'm relying on the internet right now. I'm talking to two guys in Australia, which would be impossible without this technology. Hopefully they didn't plan on this happening and the internet is really putting a bug in their system. So.
That's right, Dave, because you think of Facebook, you know. I mean, originally everyone did do as planned. They went on there and put all their pictures up and everything they were doing every part of the day. But you look at Facebook now, it's like a news feed. It's just that's what we use it for. You guys do. It's amazing the shift here. I can't believe it, you know. There's still a lot of people just wanting to do that old way. But mostly now it's turned into a massive, like, alternative news feed. It's incredible.
Right. Yeah,
that's positive. And we're using technology against them, their own technology. So it's good. Unless the only thing they can do is shut it down.
Well, that's going to happen one day. Yeah, and I would be surprised if I'm not saying that we're not going to have an election here in the United States in 2016, but I'd be surprised if we do. there's some crazy stuff going on and, you know, or maybe the whole thing will be reset. You know about the Mandela effect? Have you heard about that?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
there's so many things.
Cosmic reset.
Where you know the Tower of Babel that the Bible talks about, you know, where everybody forgot everything. Do you guys know the cereal Fruit Loops?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how old you guys are, but remember Fruit Loops?
Oh, we got them here still. Yeah.
Yeah, it's how is fruit spelled?
F-R-U-I-T.
Yeah, well, it's F-R-O-O-T.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And you go back, it's always been that. It was never that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know? The Snow White, and where she's talking to the witch through a mirror. What is the thing she says to the mirror? What is
mirror,
the thing?
Mirror on the wall, right?
It's the fairest
of them. It's now magic mirror on the wall.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere where it says mirror, mirror on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's so many of these things. And then, of course, the Bernstein Bears. Do you know the book, The Bernstein Bears? It's a famous children's book.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Bernstein. Now it's Bernstein. Okay? And it's changed. So is that a glitch in the Matrix? You know, is that just a simple reset? Did they do it on purpose? Did it happen? Are they resetting us? You know, tomorrow we may not know any of this.
Yeah.
And that sounds crazy. And I'll admit, it actually is almost crazy. But it's possible.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Oh, good.
I am addicted to researching. I do it from the second I get up and I fall asleep doing it.
Yeah,
I sleep about 4 hours a night and I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, you can't get enough, eh?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's great. It's what humans are meant to do. And I think that's been taken away from us. And also our will to want to go forward and learn has been taken away from us through the universities and schooling systems, you know? And so, you know, it's amazing.
Indoctrination system.
I didn't do well in school and I didn't go to university, but I'm here now. And I may be considered dumb to most people who have a high paying job and went to fancy universities, but it's just the way you look at it.
You don't seem dumb to me. You seem more inquisitive than all of the other dumbed down zombies that are going to their cage to work all day.
Yeah, it's glass brick cavemen.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dave, we'll pack it up and speak again soon.
All right.
Thanks for coming on. It's incredible information, and you're a great researcher. You're a great guy, and we'll just keep moving forward from here. It's fantastic information that you're offering, and you guys are amazing, and Sophia Smallstorm, just incredible stuff coming out there,
Check out her work.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, Sophia is fantastic. I love her. We talk all the time, and she's so focused on things, she sees new ways. She did a thing on Sandy Hook called Unraveling Sandy Hook in 2, 3, 4, and 5 Dimensions. It's phenomenal. Check it out. It's on YouTube.
Boy.
So it's also linked on my Sandy Hook page, deepinsidetherabbithole.com. Check it out. All the links to the YouTube channels are there. It'll keep you busy for months.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Enjoy. Keep in contact.
Yes. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.